Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Amen. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 8. Tonight is book, chapter, and verse, and we're going to go in and dig. We're going to expound and exhort, amen, through these verses. And so allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your loving kindness. And so, Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Fighting the Good Fight of Faith. And we're going to see that Paul the Apostle signing off, he's exhorting young Timothy, this young pastor during this time, that he has fought the good fight of faith. And he's about ready now to finish the course. Now, one of the things that I'm hoping that this Bible study will do for us is to encourage us to keep pressing, keep going, no wavering. Can I get an amen? The world's going to try to tear you apart. It's going to bring all kinds. The enemy will come and bring complications in your own family to steer you away from the cross. He knows. Did you know that we're marked? So God knows who are his, but the enemy also sees. Why? Because the enemy sees the Spirit of God living in you. And so that's who comes and causes havoc in our life. And so we have to look at these verses, starting with verse 1. It says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word. Say that with me. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Verse 3 and 4. For the time will come when that will not endure sound doctrine, meaning sound teaching, according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Verse 5, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions. We talked about afflictions, huh, a couple of Sundays ago. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. I want you to just repeat that with me. Fulfill your ministry. Many of you right now listening to my voice here in this auditorium have been called by God. And you are to now fulfill your ministry. Amen. So now, in verse 6, he says, for I am ready, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. So he sees, Paul already sees, God gave him a foreshadow of what was to come, and that his ministry was about ready to end. But we're going to see that he's somehow conflicted in his own spirit, because he wants to be with the Lord, but yet he feels that there's still things left undone, and he wants to stay. And that should be the only reason why we want to still be here, amen? Because there are things still that are yet to be, what, done in our life and seen others come into the saving knowledge. But if you're here just to check out, I want to be with you, God, and I don't want to deal with this bandage down there, God, I'll just keep you here a little longer. Look at this. Look at verse 7 here. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have what? Kept the faith. Amen. This is what God is looking for you and I, is to keep the faith. Come what may. We're all going to go through trials and tribulations. We're all going to see all types of confrontations from the enemy. But God is saying, hold on. Don't let go. Don't throw in the towel. You know, I've shared that I'm a boxing fan, and when there's a guy that's taking a pummeling in the corner, the manager will throw in the towel. But God is saying, don't throw in the towel. Sometimes we have to take a beating, but yet we keep going. Amen? Why? Because God will be glorified and magnified as we go through the fire without being burned. And then verse 8, finally, there is laid up for me. This is the good news. This is why the Bible's called the good news. Listen, we're not laboring just to labor. Man, there's something stored up for you and I. If you only hold on. Can I get amen? Hold on. Listen, I've seen the $40 million homes in Rancho San Diego or yes. There you go. Rancho Santa Fe. Okay. You know, there's these little communities out there. They're called covenants. And you cannot just roll up. You have to have special permission to go into those communities, right? But those homes, they start. A lot of them start at 6-7 million and they go all the way up. Let me just say this. What God has prepared for the saints of God, it will pale comparison to what he has prepared for you and I. Hallelujah. You know why? Because that $40 million home still needs termite maintenance. It still needs plumbing maintenance. The roof will still crumble. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. It'll still need to be tented. Why? Because roaches will come and ants will come and termites will come. But what God has prepared for the saints, hallelujah, the Bible says that thieves and robbers cannot enter in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our arms are too short to reach heaven. Can I get amen? So you don't have to worry about a drive-by or a break-in. Thank you, God. You don't have to worry about your stuff being invaded up there, like a house invasion. Uh-uh. That's why it says, finally, there's laid up for me the crown of what? Righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have what? Loved his appearing. That's the key. There's Christians throughout the world. They just go about every day. Yeah, praise God, I'm saved, yeah. They're not even looking for him. They're not even waking up. God, you could come this day for me. I want to keep my eyes focused on you. That's what the word says. He's going to come back for those who are what? Looking for his appearing. Hallelujah. It's not about, oh, today's just another day. I wake up every day. Man, Lord, is this the day? Let me just wait and see. We have to have that anticipation, right? Why? Because his word says, if you're looking for him, hallelujah, when he comes, he will come for you. Thank you, God. That's the word. Take it up with God's word. Hallelujah. So let's start with verse 1 once again. It says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Wow. Saints, Paul had used these words previously, but this time he included references to judgment and to Christ's return. This is one thing that a lot of churches will not talk about is judgment, unless you're in a prophecy teacher, you know, a conference. One brother that I know that loves prophecy is Brother Donald Perkins. That's what he teaches. That's his thing. And I love to listen to those type of teachers. Amen. Why? Because they let you know that Jesus is soon to come. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes, he does. And so look, perhaps thoughts of judgment could not escape Paul's thoughts as his own death neared. And this is why he was signing off with this letter. The time when Christ would appear to set up his kingdom, although still in the future in Paul's thought, was so certain as to be part of this charge and encouragement to Timothy. So the word of God encourages us, saints, that when Jesus comes for the saints, we're going to be in the Bema seat. That's not a judgment that determines whether we go to heaven or hell. The white throne judgment is something that, because of the cross and because of the blood, you and I, we have bypassed that. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know you're not going to be at the white throne judgment? The white throne judgment is where the sinners and the wicked and the ungodly will be cast into the hell and hell forevermore. This is why that we as believers One of the things that we have to be so grateful and we are to embrace is what he did for us. Hallelujah. The blood that he shed for us, that to me alone will cause me to hold on to him and say, Lord, thank you for being merciful to me. You could have cast me into hell when I was so awful out in the world. And yet you still saved me. Hallelujah. He saved you. Hallelujah. Despite of yourself, despite of your rebellion, he still came to choose you. Thank you, God. And so there's going to be an account. The word of God says there will be an account. Look at what it says here in 1 Peter. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached. See, the gospel had to come to let a man know that if they do not repent, they will perish. Because the cross is looking dead right at them now. Hallelujah. What are you going to do with the one who went to the cross? You see, Jesus told Nicodemus, he was a religious ruler. He told him, hey, listen, I didn't come to condemn the world. The world's already condemned. The Holy Spirit came to convict us of our sin. God had to point out the sins so that we could run to the cross. Can I get amen? And so look at this. It says, for this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead. Remember when Jesus died for 3 days, remember? He went down in hell and he preached to those that were held up down there because they didn't know about the good news. He went down there and freed up even the dead. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, God is an awesome God. All those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but according to God in the what? Spirit. You see, one thing about our spirit, it's eternal. And what we do and say here determines our destiny. And it's simple. Repent. Hallelujah. And turn to a holy God. And then we will. You know, you ever play Monopoly? The last place you want to end up in jail? Okay, so he allowed us to bypass jail, which is a living hell. And God has given us his grace. Can I get amen? Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So now, how many want the best riches in heaven that God has to offer, all right? So guess what? It starts right down here. God sees the whole entire agenda of our life. He sees our motives. So if you're serving him with your most holy fear, meaning not that you're scared of God, is that fear means reverential fear. You're revering who he is, that he is God and I am not. Can I get amen? And so when you get a hold of that, okay, and you start operating in the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, and you are showing others the love of Christ, that's when he starts compounding your blessings. Hallelujah. Whether good or evil. Yeah, you could witness to someone and hate them. Oh, you need to repent. And if you don't, you're going to go to hell. Oh, okay, they'll get it, but whether good or evil, Christ is still preached. Wow. You got to be careful. Can I get amen? And how we do it. Look at what Jude says right here. Now, Enoch was the Old Testament saint that never saw physical death. He was taken up in a whirlwind. Hallelujah. And who was the other one that went up? Elijah. He went up. Those two. And you know what? That was the type of the rapture. Because when we go up, hallelujah, I'm praying, God, take us while we are still alive here on earth. None of us want to feel the sting of death. There's a little sting when you pass from this physical life into eternity. There's a sting. But I'd rather, bam, be caught up. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says that when Jesus comes, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up to be with the Lord forevermore. That's how I want to go. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. But Paul thought, that, you know, God was coming then. But then God had to show him, you ran the race real well, and you're going to come into my glory. So look what Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also. Behold, the Lord comes with what? 10,000s of his saints. Who are those? Huh? It didn't say angels. Definitely he ain't coming back with demons. Remember I said Sunday morning that when Paul addressed everyone, he said, praise the Lord to all the sinners. No, he didn't say that, did he? He said, praise the Lord to what? All the saints. Read the epistles. He addressed, hallelujah, the church, the saints of God. So when Jesus comes to finally judge the world, you and I are going to be with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you didn't learn that in Sunday school, you're going to learn it right now. Can I get amen? We're going to be with him. We're going to be with him. Well, look, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of the saints. That means there's going to be a number you can't even count. And these are the saints of old and the present saints. And we can look at it as the future saints. But when he finally comes, he's going to gather us all. Look at verse 17. For what? To execute judgment on all. To convict all who are ungodly among them all, their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. It didn't say saints, did it? Sinners. A sinner cannot praise God. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is not living in him. This is why I shared Sunday. We are sinful, but God doesn't look at us as sinners no more. Can I get amen? We are the saints of God, washed in the blood, filled with his power, with his spirit. We are heaven bound now. Can I get an amen? Don't let the devil lie to you when you fumble the ball.
Amen. Thank you, God.
Because all God's going to say, pick up the ball and keep running.
Amen. Thank you, God.
But the world will condemn you. Your own heart will condemn you. And watch out when you listen to your heart, because the Bible says our heart is deceitful, above all, desperately wicked. Look at this. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Watch out. There's beautiful ministries around our nation, seriously. And then there's some that are just in left field, saying all kinds of things that don't even line up to the word. But one of the main motives is, how deep can I dig in your pocket? Why? Flattering people to gain advantage. I've seen it. I won't blast anyone up here, but I've seen it with my own eyes. It's there. And so you pray for them. Say, God, give them a revelation, God. Let them know, man, the house of God is not to be played with. It's supposed to be holy and pure. Can I get amen? Look at this. But you, beloved, this is us. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles and of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. You see, you can have church, but man, pray that these godly leaders have the Holy Ghost. If they don't have the Holy Ghost, they're just having a social meeting. They're just getting people together. But it says right here, not having the what? Capital S. Spirit. I'm glad God wrote that, not me. Because then you go, man, show me that. Right there. Take it up with God. Can I get amen? Take it up with God. Look at this. But you, beloved. Look, one more time in verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the what? Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto what? Eternal life. That's what it's all about. It's about eternity. This place down here is temporal. It comes and goes. How many of you know that you've been to many funerals and they've gone on already? We're here but for a moment. But for a moment. So our our adoration, our affection needs to be on things above, saying, God, hallelujah, this too shall pass. This life too shall pass. And aren't you so blessed that you are part of that number? You know, that's an old New Orleans song, when the saints come marching in. Oh, how I wish to be in that number. Yeah, that's right. And how the saints come marching in. Well, you know what? Where did they get that from? They got that from the Word. It came from the Bible. We are the saints are going to be what? Marching in. Come on. We just read. We're going to, ten thousands of the saints are going to be with him. I'm glad I'm going to be on that spectrum. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed? Because we are going to come with him as he speaks his word. And the word is going to judge the world. Man. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed he saved us? Thank you, God. Let's move on to verse 2. Look at this. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. One of the hardest things that pastors find themselves is when they have to send out a rebuke. I've seen so many leaders, not just in our church, but in other churches, the pastor has to bring a rebuke to those in leadership. They'll cut and walk and dry, and I'm gone. And guess what? They take that same junk in the trunk to another church. It's human nature. But we are to be ready to convince, to what? To rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. Man, you have to. Sometimes you just have to have the patience. There's some folks that will eventually get it. Can I get an amen? But you got to be long-suffering. Hallelujah. Come on. I used to be one of them stubborn sheep too. Bam, bam, banging my head against the wall. Trying to have a Burger King life. Having it my way. Saints, first and foremost, Timothy was to preach the word of God, the message of the gospel. The word suggests vigorous proclamation. Paul wanted Timothy to be bold and passionate. It was up to Timothy to preach the gospel so that the Christian faith could spread throughout the world. And praise God, it has. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Listen, how many of you can honestly say that you're not ashamed of the gospel? I think every one of us in here, right? It comes from the word. It comes from the word. And so this is why Paul was exhorting Timothy to preach, to exhort, to rebuke with all long suffering. Why? Because Paul had to bring to his recollection of what he had to go through and what he had to share of his life as it was coming out to an end. So up here in the Romans, it says, for I'm not what? Ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of what? God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from what? Faith to faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, let me ask you this. Do you know what the word justification means? Huh? Why does he say the just shall live by faith? Okay, since we were washed in the blood, sealed until the day of redemption. So now when God looks down on us, it's just as if we've never sinned. What? See, that's what gets us into heaven is the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. By faith. This is why the just shall live by faith. Now that we are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of Christ, washed in the blood, now we can walk this walk in faith. And we can now put fear and death and all these other things under our foot because Jesus conquered it. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank Jesus, man. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. The whole book from Genesis to Revelation, it is what? What does Revelation mean? It's revealing who he is. Hallelujah. The Mashiach. We were in Israel. We were singing those songs. Mashiach, Mashiach, Mashiach. Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, you remember that song? Come on. Look at this. Look at it in Romans 10, 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You see, only you and I can call upon him. Why? Because we already believed. But those who are lost, they can't. They don't know. And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And that's why me and Brother Felipe, we got our name, preacher. So how are they going to hear unless you and I go preach to them? Look at this. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So when you go in faith, man, let me tell you, my brother, my sister, God is real. He loves you. And he has eternity set for you. And all you have to do is repent. Hallelujah. You know, that's one word that a lot of churches have just pushed out of the way. Repent. We have to repent. Can I get an amen? If you don't preach repentance, then it becomes a greasy grace salvation. Oh, yeah, I just believe, yeah. I'll just say a prayer, yeah. And go home and still live like the devil. Lord God, help us. There has to be an inward change. Can I get an amen? Timothy should always be persistent, whether the times is favorable or not. Because Paul was soon to die. And Paul looked back on his life, realizing how short the time had been. So all the trials and tribulations that Paul went through, now all of a sudden, it was coming to an end. So he had to look back to look ahead. You and I, we have to look back. How many of you have been through some serious trials in your life as a believer? Come on. Let alone your BC years. But just remember, when you came to the cross, God took that eraser. He didn't remove your memory of your BC years. You know why? Because he wants you to always glorify him and magnify him and tell others what he's done for you. But you can't live in the past no more. Can I get an amen? Hello. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. He gives us one day at a time. And today is the day of salvation. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And so Timothy would need to be patient to correct those who were in error by explaining the truth, helping them to understand and accept it. He should rebuke those who were sinning by explaining their sin and their need for repentance. It's easy to rebuke someone, but can you tell them why? Or are you just mad? There's a way to do it with correctness, amen? With wisdom. So he should encourage those who were growing, even those growing in the faith and instruction and guidance. Patience should always be what characterized Timothy's attitude as he dealt with people in his church. Good teaching or doctrine should be the basis for his words. Can I get amen? It has to line up with God. If it don't line up with God, man, just turn it off. It's got to line up with the word. Let's go to verse 3 now and 4 in 2 Timothy chapter 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching. What is sound doctrine? Can I get amen? But according to their own desires, because they have what? Itching ears. You know what people love to hear? Man, they love to hear, man, just preach about me in heaven floating on a cloud with a harp. But don't talk about my sin. Itching ears. So they'll go to places that won't talk about end times. They won't talk about prophecy. They won't talk about sin. No, we won't offend you. Really? Did you know that Jesus told the Pharisees, these are the religious leaders, he said, you are of your father, the devil. What? Straight out he did. We got to learn to hate the things that God hates. Can I get amen? Listen, he loves his created beings. He loves the people that he created. He hates the sin. It's the sin that they won't let go. It's the sin they won't turn over. And that's his issue. It's called the issue of the heart. And so they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to what? Fables. Saints, when Paul spoke about false teaching, he usually focused on the evil intentions of the false teachers. However, false teachers could not flourish if they had no audience. So after a while, they'd be hearing this same kind of rhetoric, and they leave. Why? Because there's no anointing on it. It's just a whole bunch of words. And when the word of God is not used at all, or maybe one or two scriptures and that's it, man, this is where you have to go, wait a minute, hold back here. Everything has to be in alliance with God's word. Can I get amen? If God's word confirms it, then you roll with it because God said it. Amen? God, how many believe God's a good God? And guess what? He is not the spirit of confusion. Can I get amen? He's the spirit of truth. And we must worship him in spirit and in truth, right? So remember in the previous chapters, this is what Paul wrote down for Timothy. As I said when I left Macedonia, please stay there in Ephesus and try to stop the men who are teaching such wrong teaching. Put an end to their myths and fables and their idea of being saved by finding favor with endless chain of angels leading up to God, wild ideas that stir up questions and arguments instead of helping people accept God's plan of faith. I remember I was listening to a talk show and this caller called in and said, there was an evangelist that came to our church. And he said that one of the reasons why that I don't have the things that I desire is because I'm not given enough. And so then they'll put a guilt trip on you. This is why you're in poverty, because you're not given enough. And that person was crushed. That was a lie. That's a false teaching. Can I get amen? Amen. Listen, it's called the providence of God. Jesus said, even the poor will be with us. That's what Jesus said. Listen, he didn't make us all Donald Trumps that are billionaires. There's billionaires, and then there's people that just get by paycheck to paycheck. Can I get amen? But what we do have, hallelujah, we glorify God. We magnify him. And it's not a financial thing. You know what? It's serving with your whole heart, soul, and mind. To me, that's why Jesus said this every now and then I wear a little coin. It's called a widow's mite. And Jesus was looking at all the givers on the Temple Mount. And these wealthy cats, these fat cats, they were given all kinds. Why? Because they had a whole lot of fat to cut out and throw it in the pot. And then this little lady came by. And she dropped in a coin. And Jesus stopped everyone. And he shouted at, he goes, see this lady? She gave more than all of you. You know why? Because she gave all that. She only had a widow's mite. You know what a widow's mite is? It's a quarter of a penny. But he saw that she was a servant. Hallelujah. Listen, God is not looking for your money. I hope you know that. He's looking for your servanthood unto him. That you will love him with all your heart, soul, and mind. And that you will love your neighbor like yourself. He's looking for the heart to be turned to him. Hallelujah. But there's some of these teachers, man, they'll tell you, man, you got to give a little more and you'll see that caddy in your garage. He'll turn that VW bug into a caddy. Just speak it into existence. You ever hear of some? That's false teaching. Now you're thinking every day, man, that caddy's just going to appear. Man, help us, Lord. We live in the last days. Can I get amen? Amen. We live in the last days. False teachers. Look at this. What I am eager for is that all Christians there will be filled with love that comes from pure hearts, that their minds will be clean and their faith strong in the Lord. Can I get amen? Don't go on these weak fables, these false teachers that promise you a rose garden, and yet God say, no, I need you to go through the fire because I need to teach you something. You've heard me share this many times, is when God radically saved me, and my first wife had to say goodbye to me because I did it to myself. God had me waiting patiently for 10 years to bless me with one of his daughters. And guess what I had to learn? I had to learn how to love him first, because I didn't know how to love. This is what wrecked my first marriage. I didn't know how to love. I abused it all. It was all on me. And so God had to teach me how to love him, how to toil in ministry, how to pray for souls at the altar, how to watch them get baptized, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, and get filled with the Holy Ghost and continue to press. And when God saw that, man, okay, I can trust you now with one of my own from my garden. It's easy to find them in Egypt. Yeah. Just go out to the Black Ingus on Wednesday night. Go hang out there. You can find someone right away. You would dishonor God. Sometimes we got to wait. Wait on the Lord. Can I get amen? Wait on the Lord, because he has the best for you. I'd rather have his best than my want. Did you catch that one? His best than my want. My want, man, my want wants everything. And a lot of it is covetousness, greed. Wow, God said, uh-uh. Because when I give you my best, the Lord says, you will know it's me, because it will be like this. And you will walk. You will walk in God's grace and his love and loving one another the way he intended it. Can I get an amen? See, right now, this agenda across the United States, it's a conspiracy against the church. Can I get an amen? These left-wingers, all they want to do is promote fornication. And there's no father in the home. So now when the child comes, there's no leader there. And so they're going to continue to pump all that in to continue the ungodliness. No one talks about that. We talk about it here. Can I get an amen? Because God will fix those things if you truly turn to him. The world's upside down, but Jesus is right side up. Can I get an amen? Amen. He's right side up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's just praise him for a minute. Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. What he's doing in our life. And even the life that carried us into our salvation, he's still been good. How many times have we fumbled the ball as saints of God? Many times. But he said, you know what he says? But my grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. Yeah, I saw you fumble the ball, but here's the pigskin. Continue to run with it. You know why? Because he wants you to cross the goal line. Hallelujah. One of the toughest sports is football. Just to get 1 yard, or let alone an inch. And the opposing team is right there to knock your head off. I played football. I know. It's one of the toughest sports. But if you could get to the goal line, my goodness. The roar. Well, guess what? The roar of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They made it. They made it. They made it. They made it. Because the Bible says in Hebrews that there is a, hallelujah, a witness. And it's heaven looking down, cheering us on. You can make it. You can make it. You can make it. Don't ever throw in the towel. Can I get amen? Don't ever give up. God is with us. And if God is with us, he will what? Sustain us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I'm so blessed that he's in my corner. And when I sweat and I toil, he's there, man, to just a wipe. It's all right. I got you. I got you. I'm with you. Hold on a little longer. It's not going to always be like that. Can I get an amen? Let's look at verse 5 in 2 Timothy chapter 4. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. God has said, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. I got a text. No. Okay, there's two ways people can communicate with you nowadays. Texting and messenger. I got a messenger one today and said, pray for me. I'm in a dark place. I'm not going to give away his name, but you just pray for him. Amen? Amen. Pray for this brother. He's in a dark place right now. Pray for him. I encouraged him to come out, but I didn't see him tonight. That means the battle is raging. There's a real battle. You know there's a real battle? And the devil wants to take you out. He wants to throw jabs and uppercuts and right hands and hooks. And he wants to barrage you. And all of a sudden you're going bam, 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 bam. And then now all of a sudden you're about ready to collapse. That's what the enemy will do. And the whole key is to take your focus off of Jesus. That's why it was written in 1 Peter, therefore, gird up your loins of your mind. You see, we need to be what? Sober. You know what? Someone thinks right away, oh, man, you know, don't be sipping that funny juice. Don't be sipping that MD 2020. Oh, am I going way back now? No. Sober mean is the influence of this world. Egypt. This world wants to contaminate your spirit. That's why don't watch some of the sitcoms no more on television. They want to let you know, man, the same sex is okay. And they want to shove it down your throat. And so some Christians are getting fogged up and they're getting drunk in it. Oh, I guess it's okay now. No, go back to God's word. It's an abomination. It'll always be an abomination. Can I get an amen? Amen. And I always say this, and I say it in a way where hopefully it makes sense. But now this the third bathroom's around. What? Listen, I've said it before, I'll say it again. All you got to do is go to the restroom, drop the drawers, look down. That's who you are. And if you got an issue with it, if you're still confused, you need to be delivered. Can I get an amen? That's the problem. Oh, let's get these scientists, let's get a panel, and let's discuss. They need to be saved. They don't got the word all in them. Look at this. Let your gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Rest your hope, hopefully, on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As what? Obedient children. Not disobedient, but obedient children. Not conforming yourselves to the former lust. What does that mean? That means don't go back to your BC years and start hanging out with them that chew and smoke and those that do. No, I'm not part of that no more. God has sanctified me. He has set me apart. Now I'm going to live holy unto God. Can I get amen? It says, don't go back to your former lust in your ignorance. So in other words, God sometimes winks at our ignorance, but he wakes you up. And then once you know the truth, don't go back there. Can I get amen? Because now you know the truth. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Why? Because it is written, be holy for what? I am holy. Man, take that up with God. Hey, listen, I'm just a messenger right now, bringing you the good news. Don't get mad at the preacher. I'm just delivering the mail tonight. Can I get amen? Because it's good for me as well as for you. Saints, many in Timothy's ministry would look to Timothy as their example. Timothy would have to endure, for he must continue to bring the work and bringing others to Christ. How many of you believe that God is using you? You got to believe that. You got to believe that. Don't let the enemy say, oh man, you're useless. When's the last time you want someone to God? That's a lie from the pit. You keep on living for God. and someone's going to get saved. Can I get an amen? You don't have to be a Billy Graham. All he's calling you to be a saint of God, set apart, be holy, and God will use you mightily. Can I get amen? Oh, yes. Because the work is to proclaim the gospel to all at all times. Can I get amen? Calling them to repent, as I shared. Those of you who have been to our baptismal pool in our patio, we got plaques up there, don't we? One of them says, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot what? Enter the kingdom of God. The other one says this. Then Peter said to them, what? Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And it says, you shall. Notice it says, you shall. It didn't say, maybe. Well, I'll think about it. Well, you know what? I'll send you a text or a messenger text, and I'll let you know. He don't say that, does he? He said, you shall. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed to know God? God is in it. Listen, and we ought to be in it to win it. Can I get an amen? We're not in this race to lose. Man, I want everything that God has for me. Let's go to verse 6. We're running out of time, so let's go to verse 6. Here we go. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. So Paul telling young Timothy, take the mantle. Go further now than I've ever gone. Raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Preach and teach them. Hallelujah. Teach them how to live holy. Teach them how to live godly. Can I get amen? Because he was ready to go. And so Paul viewed his life as an offering poured out before God. And this is how we need to view our life, that we're being poured out. Hallelujah. And I don't care if God pours me out. You know why? Because the outcome at the very end is I want to give him all praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah. And I want to understand that he came to die for me, and that is more valuable than anything on this earth. I love my wife. She loves me. But you know who's first in our life? God. He's number one. Thank you, God. So he was being poured out as a drink offering. He knew that it was coming to an end. Paul's commitment was total, thus sacrificing his life to build others. And he built others' faith, and it seemed to him a joyous reward. It's going to be a joy, saints, all that you do for Christ. Oh, yeah, look at this in 2 Corinthians. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is what? God, who also has given us the Spirit. And man, I'm telling you, when you get a hold of this, forget about your guarantees from Walmart. They got an expiration date. You go one day after it, I'm sorry, you missed it by a day. But the Holy Spirit was given to us as a what? Guarantee. See, this throws the Arminian doctrine in like a monkey wrench. I came from an Arminian type of ministry where they believe, well, God sent a saint to hell. Really? This is a guarantee. So we are always confident. This is what God wants us to be, confident in him, not confident in what someone said. Can I get an amen? The devil's always going to try to confuse you. Oh, man, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. And you walk around with your head hung down. God said, man, I died for you. I gave you eternal life. Walk with me now. Be joyful. Be thankful that he has given you eternal life. Can I get amen? Well, amen. But the devil wants to come and knock you off the track. I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy. Let's get that straight. None of us are worthy. But he still chose you. He still chose me. Hallelujah. And because he did that, we can praise him and say, thank you, God. Despite of my ugly self, you still chose me. Wow. Look at this. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So right now, we're absent from the Lord. But guess what? Hallelujah. One day, we're going to be just like him. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident. Yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. This is what he was trying to convey. And look at this in Philippians. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Listen, your 401k, all your reserves, all your retirement is going to mean nothing when you get to heaven. All the stuff we obtain here is going to be but rubble. What God has prepared for you and I far exceeds our imagination. We can't even fathom the thought of what he has prepared for you and I that love him. Look at this. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. How many believe it's far better? Amen. We get that. But look what he says. He says this. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. So this is why Paul is saying, I want to be with Christ. I do. But there's still work I need to do to complete my task. And so this is why we have to have the mindset. We keep on plowing ahead. Hallelujah. Don't look back. Don't look to the left or right. Just keep plowing ahead. And when God's ready to take us home, hallelujah, you're going to know it. He's going to come for us. Amen. Look at this. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for all your progress and joy of faith. Man, you should be blessed when you see someone get saved. It should feel like you got saved all over again when you see someone get saved. You know why? You remember the joy that came the first time? Oh my gosh, it was so overwhelming. That should be the joy in our heart to see someone get saved like that. And that's what Paul said. To progress in joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. He had to come. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So as we come in for a close, in verse 7 it says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Can that be said of us? Can God boast in heaven about you? Because you know he boasts your name. You know that when we got saved, our name was echoed throughout heaven. The Bible says when one sinner repents, the heavens rejoice. That's the word. And so, Paul, he summed up three phases in the perfect tense to convey the finality. Paul knew that his end was coming. He knew that. He had called Timothy to fight the good fight. Why? Because his own fight was about ready to be over. The fight had been worthwhile and he had fought well. He had the race almost completed. You ever see track and field and they're running? You ever seen those guys that they just keep running in circles and running? I think it's called 800 meter. And man, it could be like 10 minutes. Yeah, but to me, it's like, it doesn't matter who wins it. It's those guys that make it across the line, man. You and I would collapse in the first few yards. But, you know, they're trained for it. And that's why God is training us up in the Word. Can I get amen? So that we may know him closer. We may know his attributes. We know that we got to know what he loves and what he dislikes. Can I get amen? And then he will. He will correct us. Why? Because I need you to get a hold of this. I've shared this scripture earlier, but I just gave it to you. Now we're going to read it. But everything that is done here on earth, there's witnesses looking down on us. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, where does it say that, Pastor? Right here. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. God sees us when we entangle ourselves, when we willfully go in sin. God doesn't want us to do that. Why? Because heaven's looking. Did you know there's angels around us? And even if you're all by yourself in the room, locked up, got the computer screen on, and you think nobody's there, Jesus is sitting right next to you. Wow. Look at this. Let us lay aside every weight and sin. Because there's things that weigh us down. Not just sin. We're preoccupied. We're too just busy. I'm consumed with everything else other than the things of God. So look at this. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. It traps us. And let us run, what? With endurance, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He had to come up on this cross for you and I. And all God is saying is, live holy. He's not asking us to climb up on old cross and take a whooping like he did. He's just saying, live holy. Can you just live holy for me? That's all he's saying. He's just saying this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Lord. Can I get an amen? Huh? He sat down at the right hand of God. Paul never wavered in his faith and trusted that soon he would experience all the promises on which his life was based on, and it was based on Christ. And so, we're going to go through trials. How many believe we're going to go through trials and tribulations? How many believe that we're going to go through affliction? We're going to go through all these things that someone said you wouldn't go through. That's a lie from the pen. Well, you're not giving enough. This is why you're going through. That's a lie. God don't say, let's make a deal. God is saying, this is the deal, the word. Look at this. Blessed is a man who remains steadfast under trial. Can I get an amen? For when he has stood the test, he will receive what? The crown of life, which God has promised to those who what? Love him. That's what it's all about. Don't listen to these false teachers. You know what? They won't tell you this. They won't tell you you have to endure some things. Man. That'd be like going to see your doctor and he sees a mass growing. Just take these two pills and you'll be fine. That's a lie, isn't it? Yeah, I think you would want to know the truth, right? Well, God is telling us. He's telling us that he's for us, not against us. And he wants the best for our life. And so we're closing. In verse 8, finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me only, but also to those who have loved his appearing. You know why? Because God's going to show up, saints. Don't ever for one moment think he's not coming. He is coming. And he said in his word, he said this right here, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. It's right there in the Word. It's right there in Matthew. When he comes, he's going to bless us with those rewards. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And it's not going to be no coupon. You can go to the store. Oh, I got a coupon now. Let me see what my rewards are. It's not that kind of reward. Look what he says here. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and they revile you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. So it's okay. Let them mock you. If you're standing for righteousness, it's okay. Guess who's going to have the last laugh? I remember this old R&B song, Who Has the Last Laugh Now? Okay, you don't remember that one. Look at this. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner their fathers did to the prophets. Man, the prophets would tell the king, you're in sin. You need to repent. And you know what they did to the prophets? They threw them down in the dungeon. They threw Jeremiah in the dungeon and left them there to die. And guess what happened right after that happened? The Babylonians came and overran them and ran them off their land and took them into captivity. Oh, yeah. Listen, when God is speaking to us, we need to take heed. Can I get amen? There's a time to rejoice and to praise God and to love him, and there's a time to get right with him. There's a time to lay aside those weights and sins. There's a time to get right with relationships. Now, here's the thing. Get right with relationships. That's right. Because God don't want to see any hate in our heart. Can I get an amen? Because he's Superman. He sees right through our heart. He does. I got this shirt at the fair. You're going to see it. How many are going to that concert? So we sculpted it out, and I shared with the sisters. They're going to get there early. This is where I'd like to sit. In between 10 and 11, down in the very first row. You got to be there at 3, though. It opens up at 3. Hallelujah. We're going to have a blessed time, aren't we? We're going to have a blessed time. But I lost my train of thought. Yes, there you go. Thank you. Thank you. So we were there the other day, and we were in one of those, exhibits. And they sell all kinds of gadgets and things. And Sister Yolanda, sometimes she calls me Mr. Gadget. I buy things that I use maybe once or twice, and they just lay around. But there's this one. There's two. There's two booths in there. And they're both selling T-shirts and hats. And this one sister is all the way from L.A. And I should have wore it tonight. I mean, wore it sometime. But it's a baby blue shirt and in big writings. And it has Revelation. I forgot the scripture underneath. It says, get right or get left. I want that. Get right or get left. I remember she goes, you ought to wear that when you go to that National City Council meeting. It was a clergy meeting where all the pastors got together. And I presented that bill to everyone, and they all, we don't talk about that in our church. We don't get political in here. I try to tell them, this is not political. This is a spiritual fight. And the darkness is creeping in to take away our rights. And if you don't go out there and vote against this ungodly thing, we can't preach over the pulpit righteousness. They will take away our liberty. They didn't get that. I said, so that she goes, you should have wore your T-shirt. Get right or get left. I said, honey, I can't go. I couldn't go there. You know, until God opens up ears and eyes to see, you can preach until they're blue in the face. But God has to reveal it, amen? And that's what I'm praying. God, reveal it. Just reveal it. Wake up the church. There's some churches that are... And they just go right back to sleep. It's going to take a suddenly... to happen in our land, where then people are going to run. They're going to run to church. Remember 9/11? How many was around when 9/11? I was attending Mission Valley Christian Fellowship. We were at the Hotel Cinema 21 Theater. That facility held 1,000 seats. We had two services at the time. The average attendance was about 400-500. So 1,000 would attend in the morning, then some would come at the night, and then maybe 200 would come on Wednesday night. But when 9/11 hit, us regulars, God is my witness, Yolanda was there, we had to give up our seats. There was not enough seats. We had to stand in the back. And every seat, every 1,000 seat was taken. And it lasted for 3 weeks. And then when, the terror's gone, they all went back home. And you know what that was? You know, everyone was saying, God bless America, and they were waving the flags. The nation got patriotic, but it did not repent. So they went back in their old ways. This time around, what happened in 9/11 is going to be a cakewalk. Because this nation is slipping into darkness so grievously unto God. I need you guys to read a book. I may bring a whole bunch of copies and buy them for you guys to read. It's called Through the Fire Without Burning. It's about Dimitri Dudeman. He was a pastor from Romania. This man's testimony, he was smuggling Bibles into Russia. He got caught 3 times. One time, they hung him upside down by his ankles. They took bats and they beat him on his feet. And then they electrocuted, you know, his private part. The last time they caught him, they threw him into a dungeon. And they had this huge, giant, starved rats. And then they let him out. And they all came and started, this was food for them, or they would die. And he cried out to God. He said, God, don't let me die like this. And an angel appeared in the room, and all the dead rats all the rats got killed. And the chief warden of that prison, God struck that man's heart, and he died on the spot. And the whole entire prison was like, whoa. All the guards released him and said, get out of here. Fear came up. And so God said, I'm sending you to a country. And I know you don't know the language. He goes, but you're going to go on television, you're going to go on radio, and you're going to tell everyone in America that the Russians, the Chinese, the North Koreans, the Middle East is going to come in one day and attack us. And he says, the sign of it is when the communists will start coming together, and they're going to come against the government. And we're seeing that right now. There's a communist plot in our land. And let me just say this. God showed them that. He showed them L.A. He showed them Miami. He showed them Las Vegas. He showed them all kinds of places. He said, it is like Sodom and Gomorrah, and the sin has reached the heavens. And I have to judge it. Saints, are you ready for something like that? This is why we need to be praying. Say, God, I'm praying for my unsaved ones. I'm praying, God. Because throughout the Word of God, if you do a word study, that God always has to bring judgment to a nation that turns its back on God. He did it to Israel. He'll do it to us. Because we were founded by the forefathers. Can I get amen? We need to be about our Father's business. And so remember this book. And I may order some copies and just give them to you. I'm not going to say, well, it's going to cost you about $15. I'm just going to buy some, and you need a book. And then after you read it, share it with someone else. It's called Through the Fire Without Burning by Dimitri Dudeman. And he shows every city and how they're going to attack. They're going to come in through Mexico. They're going to come in through Minnesota. They're going to come in through Washington area. They're going to come from the east. And they're all going to come in one day. And in his writings, it says that their minds are already made up. They're just waiting for the day. They've all plotted and schemed against us. And it's coming to pass now. It's going to come. So this is why we need to be about our Father's business. Amen. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. You know why? Oh, I don't want to scare the people. No. If God is with us, who can be against us? Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Man, God will put his supernatural covering upon you. God will keep his own. And he will tell you where to run. He will tell you where to flee. Oh, yes, he will. If you're living right before him and you're holy unto him, man, he will take care of us just like a mother takes care of her mother hens. He will watch over you. But I'm here to let you know, saints, we live in some serious times. And that was a sign to me when the whole clergy said, don't bring that here. Mm-mm. So, in other words, let the transgenders and the homosexuals have their way and let them take your word. Who cares? We'll just continue to love. We need to pray. Amen. And so always remember, we're closing this scripture right here. Oops. Whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly, heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing from the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. And so, can we honestly say tonight that God is with us? That God is for us? That God has washed us? He has cleansed us? We are eternally his. And so God has equipped the saints. God has shown throughout 2,000 years that he can keep his own. And I don't care what storms and tribulations you've gone through, you are here today because he's kept you. Can I get amen? He's kept you, and he's going to continue to keep you. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy. And Lord, sharing Demetri Dudeman was not on the notes, but Lord, I'm just moved by your spirit. And Lord, there will be a day of suddenly. And we don't know when and where, but I know that you have prepared us to live for you. And as if we do our part, we know that you're going to do your part. And you said in the word, absence from this body is to be present with you. So come what may, we will be with you regardless. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We exalt you. We magnify you. And Father, I'm praying right now for those who are listening to this message. You've never turned your life over to Jesus Christ, the Son of God who died for your sins and for mine. He is saying to you right now, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart, for today is the day of salvation. And so if you're listening to this message, God is just saying, repent. Make an about face. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will forgive you, wash you in his blood, fill you with his spirit, and give you a new life in Christ. He's not asking you to do anything but that. That's all it takes is a first step of faith. And he will pick you up and carry you the rest of the way. If that's you listening right now, pray this simple prayer. The prayer don't save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that will save you. Prayer is given to us by God so that we here on earth can communicate with the holy God in heaven. So if that's you, pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah and glory.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.